さかい私の目の瞳に必要な存在。Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world. You're back with H10 Hanshin Tigers English News Podcast. This is episode number 10. It is Sunday, September the 27th for us. I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me, as always, my co-host,
The Wizzo. I'm here.
Wizzo, welcome back. Can you believe it's been 10
episodes? No, actually, I can't. 10 weeks, man. We've been doing this, so...
Yeah, it's great. Man, it's good to talk Tigers. You know, through the good and bad, Tigers fans stick together and Tigers fans remain Tigers fans. So tell me, Wizzo, how was your week?
It was good. I got to go up to Tokyo, spent a week with the Air Force up there. That was kind of fun, you know, to see how they do things. And then, you know, once work was done, it was time for play. Family and I.
What'd you do?
The family and I went to Disneyland, hung out there for a day, and then brought the Shin back. So... It was a good week.
Nice. Very good, very good. I hope your daughter enjoyed Disneyland.
Oh, I enjoyed Disneyland more than them two.
Awesome. Sweet.
How about yourself? What did you do? Anything spectacular?
Well, it was Silver Week, you know, so there were some days off there. And actually, my wife's birthday was in the midst of that. So, I got to celebrate that a little bit. And, you know, just spending quality time with the family. So, for me, it was, you know, hanging out with my son a lot. I go back to work on Monday. The university semester starts up. And so, you know, I just wanted to spend as much time as I could. And, you know, my son, he's turning 2 this Saturday. And he's really coming along with his Tigers knowledge. I'm really impressed. You know, he's got probably about 5 players' names down already. He's got numbers down. So if I ask him what number Randy is, he says 5-4. What number is Matt? 9. Who's number 1? Tori-san. You know, and he's got all these guys down. And then when I ask him what Wada's number is, this is the part that kind of cracks me up, is that, as you know, Wada is number 86, right?
Yep.
But my son, he has this tendency to look at things from right to left a lot of times, and maybe it's the Japanese in him, I'm not really sure. But so when I ask him what Wada's number is, most of the time he gets it wrong, and he says 6-8, and I always correct him, and I say, no, that's Shunsuke. Oh, wait a minute, it's okay, son, because they're both kind of peewees, so it's all right if you make that mistake. So...
Yeah, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. Well, anyways, we're going to talk a lot about WADA, I think, during this show. There's various things that have come up during the week. But before we get to WADA, of course, we're going to recap the action this week. We're going to choose our players of the week. We will do WADA Disaster, I believe. And then we're going to talk about the upcoming playoff season, the postseason, and what's going on there. And we'll predict what's going to happen in the final 4 games, pardon me, of the Tigers season. So stick around, we will be back when the music's over. Okay, Wizzo, so we had a 6-game road trip this week, and we started it with 2 games in Tokyo Dome, followed by a game in Nagoya at Nagoya Dome. So we'll go through those 3 games real quick before we do kind of commentary. In Tokyo Dome, in Game 1, we brought Iwazaki to the mound, and it was his very first ever start against the Giants. He's a second-year player, and you know he's been on a real roll lately, and so... It was good to give him that chance, and he actually did a very good job. He allowed only 4 hits through 6 innings and just 1 run, and that run came in the 6th inning in his final inning. He completed the inning anyways. Unfortunately, the guys behind him didn't back it up, and so Matsuda came in relief. He allowed a run, and then Sayuchi allowed a run in the 8th inning. And for the Tigers' part, they went up against Sugano, one of their kryptonite enemy pitchers, and they managed a measly 4 hits. All coming in different innings. Our biggest chance was in the second inning when we got the bases loaded with one out, but Yamato and Iwasaki struck out to end the threat. So we ended up with zero. Final score 3-0 in game one. So that, adding on to the loss the day before against the Swallows, meant 2 straight losses against teams that we had to beat. We couldn't beat them. Next day, we come in with Randy Messenger, and you know the story. It's the same old song and dance with Messenger, right? No run support. So actually, though, Messenger kind of dug himself a bit of a hole in this one when he gave up a home run to the second batter that he faced. But after that, settled in real nicely, didn't allow another run through the end of 6 innings. And then in the 7th, he allowed 1 more run, unfortunately, on a double that probably should have been a single, except for a bit of lazy fielding in left field. Excuse me. And so that resulted in a second run. So we were down 2-1 at that point because we had actually tied the game up in the 3rd inning with a Fukudome single. Guess who he brought home? Yeah, Toritani, as always. And then in the 9th inning, actually, it was great. We mounted a comeback, and we got the tying run in the top of the 9th. Unfortunately, your boy, O, who pitched a clean 8th inning, came in the 9th and tried to finish the game up, or at least keep it a tie through 9 innings, and unfortunately gave up a hit, which was followed by a bunt, and then a walk-off hit. So we lost that one 3-2, walk-off loss. The losing streak is at 3 games now, and we are heading to Nagoya, and we're bringing in Akiyama, who has not pitched for the big team in over a month. And, wow, this one started off really rough. In the bottom of the 2nd inning, Akiyama allowed hit after walk after hit, and he was pulled in the 2nd inning. The Dragons got 4 runs in the 2nd, and that seemed to just morally, undo the Tigers, who couldn't get anything really going, at least as far as run production goes, until the 6th inning when Matt Merton led it off with a home run, and then we got a Toritani RBI single, making it 4-2. I'm looking at the box score now just as I'm recapping, and I see hit marks in almost every inning, and I see walk marks all across the board too. I mean, we had 12 hits in this game, plus we had 6 walks. So 18 guys making base. 2 runs. We lost 4-2. The losing streak is now at 4 games, and all hopes of the title are down the tubes now for the Tigers. Tell us, Wizzo, about the games that you saw, the action you saw, the impressions that you had.
Okay, as far as the games go, believe it or not, I'm in Tokyo, and I don't get to see the Giants games. I couldn't figure that one out for the life of me. So luckily, everybody on the page saves the day, and they make great posts, and I'm following it. Why? O is a one-inning pitcher. You know, sometimes he's asked to come in and, pitch for 2 innings. Well, man, I can't believe we lost it because of him. I didn't get to see any of the games last week. I read about most of them. You know, what hurt me the most, obviously, is dying in the inning and giving it up. But that's, you said it about the Chunichi series. The morale, I don't know, this team looked dead against Chunichi. Oh, they gave up 4 runs. Done. They just looked out of it. And they still had a chance. It was 4-2. Still had a chance, but no. They were just out of it.
Well, still had a chance, meaning in the 3rd inning, they got 2 guys on base. In the 4th inning, they got 2 guys on base. 5th inning, 1 guy. 6th inning is where they scored their run. 7th inning, 2 guys on base. 8th inning, 3 guys on base. 9th inning, 1 guy on base. So, yeah, they had their chances. And morale looked really bad. And I didn't get to watch the game either, but I know somebody said after Merton hit his home run, like, he just kind of looked like he didn't even care that he did it. There was no excitement.
Yeah, of course not. I mean,
that's just sad.
If I hit a home run, I'd be going nuts. I mean, I'd be just running around the bases, probably doing backflips. I mean, I'd be ecstatic, but,
You're also not a professional.
Yeah, that's true. These guys are probably worn out. Long year. They're getting chewed out by us, in a sense.
Oh, yeah, they must hate that.
Yeah, they're probably listening going, goodness, these guys. Yeah.
So here's the situation. you know, at this point now, the Tigers had been playing or are still in the middle of a 12 games in 12 days set. And at this point, we're 7 games deep as far as our recaps even go. And the Tigers lost 2, won 1, and then lost 4. So they're 1-6 at this point in the 12-game set. And this was a real crucial time of year. Let's move on. Let's jump into the next three games, which took place at, like you said, in Hiroshima, at Hiroshima Stadium, at Mazda Stadium. So here we go. We go into the game on Friday, and we bring Nomi to the mound. Nomi, who's been pretty shaky lately after he had a really good August. His September's been pretty bad. But he came in, and he was lights out. Fukudome helped him out with a two-run home run in the top of the first. And we just took it and ran. I mean, Nomi allowed one hit through four innings. And he went seven innings, allowing zero runs, four hits, two walks, six strikeouts. And at that point, we're up 3-0 because in the third inning, Merton got an RBI single. So actually, that was all it was. It was a 3-0 win. And really, the Tigers looked pretty good in this one. It seemed like they were fired up again over something. I'm not sure what, but things got going.
Yeah, they did. Nomi. You know, Nomi coming in and stopping the bleeding. That was actually impressive. You know, just reading about it, I was like, right on Nomi. Great job. And O saved it, thank God. You know, so we're good.
Yeah, pleasant surprise. And on top of that, I mean, it was just nice because we were facing one of the Carp pitchers not named Kuroda, Maeda, or Johnson. So we really needed to win that one, and we did. Speaking of Maeda, the next day, which was Saturday, we brought Iwata to the mound, and the Tigers brought, or pardon me, the Carp brought Maeda to the mound. And we actually gave him a good run for his money in the first inning and got a run right at the start. And Maeda is the kind of pitcher, if you look at his numbers this year, he's allowed a ton of runs in the first and second innings and very little after that. So we needed to get something on the board, and we got something. We got the one run, but that was it. Two out of our five hits on the day came in the first inning. The other two were a single in the third by Toritani and a single in the fifth by Umeno, and that's it. And Iwata actually started really strong. He struck out the side in the first, but in the second, he gave up a couple hits, and he gave up base runners in every inning. And then in the fifth, he kind of fell apart, giving up, I think it was three hits and a walk, and that resulted in two runs scored. It was back-to-back RBI singles to left field by Arai and Eldred. So the score was 2-1 at that point, and we brought in our relievers, and they actually hung on all right. Sayuchi, the man who loves to walk as many people as he possibly can without allowing runs, did it. He walked 3 2 innings, allowed no runs. And then Tsuru and Takamiya finished it off with a clean 8th inning, or at least not allowing any runs. But the final score was 2-1. We lost. So, you know, the distance that we put between us and the Carp on Friday went back to where it was before on Saturday. And then in today's game, the Carp brought their other Tiger killer to the mound, Mr. Chris Johnson. And once again, we did an all right job in the first inning. Toritani walked. Johnson is really good at walking guys, actually. He walked Toritani and Gomez in the first inning, but Fukudome brought Toritani home. And so that was the first run of the game. We got a lead, but that was very short-lived because Iwazaki started for us, and the first guy up for him, he served up a home run. Follow that by a hit, a strikeout, a hit, an RBI, that is. And I think, yeah, did he stay in any longer? He did. He went 2/3 of an inning, so he pop up to center. He allowed another hit, another RBI. And then he was pulled before the inning was over, before the first inning was over. So it was a 3-1 deficit after one inning. The relievers came in and did a tremendous job. Tsuru, Ishizaki, Ando did great. So through 7 innings, or through the next 6 innings, our relievers went perfect as far as no runs allowed. The Tigers, for their part, got another run in the 7th inning to make it 3-2. But that was it. They could not mount the final comeback. And the Carp pulled away in the 8th when Fukuhara kind of self-destructed, allowed a hit, a bunt, a walk, and then two RBI triple. So final score 5-2, we lose, losing streak of two, and the gap between us and the Carp is now 1.5. Impressions?
It's unreal. You know me, I don't like Maeda. I don't like this guy at all. And he's like Mikolas. They're about the same level. I don't know what it is. You know, I said it is, why are we so scared of these pitchers? You know, it's almost like bases loaded. Like today, bases loaded. I'm reading this. Bases loaded, no outs. Infield pop-up, another pop-up. And I'm just stunned, man. We are leaving so many people on base. You know, one game we had 12 hits, 2 runs. It's unbelievable. And people like Chris Johnson are going to love that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, I'll give up 9 hits, you know, no problem. You're going to score probably 1 run, 2 runs. So we're killing ourselves, man. 12 runners left on base.
Yeah, it was 12 today, and I think it was 14 against the Dragons. So, yeah, not a very good track record there. It just seems like we can get guys on, but when it comes down to it, we're not getting them home. And I wonder, like, should we change our cheer songs? Like, what can we do as fans, Wizzo? Like, is it our fault or is it the hitter's fault or whose fault is it?
Is somebody out there, like, is anybody creating voodoo dolls or something? I mean, can we? I mean, we got to start, you know, something, man. This is crazy. Like, when we get people on base and we leave them there. And the most common, I think, player out there all the time is Fukudome. You know, he's always out there and he's stuck there. So,
well, actually this week, that would be probably, it was kind of an exceptional week in that sense that it wasn't him. I felt like Yamato, when he was playing, was doing everything wrong all the time as far as leaving guys on base. And Fukudome actually grounded into several double plays this week. He had 2 today. One was a line drive double play, and it was kind of Yamato's fault that it was a double play because of his base running. But yeah, he ended the yesterday's game against the Carp with a double play, and I think he also hit a double play earlier in the week, and then he hit one more today, like I said. So he was definitely a culprit this week, not a victim. But yeah, terrible stuff, man. Leaving way too many runners on base. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And definitely, you know, as we're drawing near to the off season, you know, we're going to start to pick a lot of interesting topics that we can discuss and we can try and shape the Tigers' future, at least in our amateur minds, in the off season. But let's move on. Despite the 1-5 record this week, by the way, you picked 2-4 last week and I said 3-3, so we were both off. Both too optimistic, Wizzo. We're going to have to be more realistic this week when we do our predictions. But anyways, they went 1-5 on the week. Despite that, let's try and choose a player of the week. Who you got for us?
Yeah, it's pretty sad when, you know, too much optimism is asking for them to get 2 wins. You know, it's like, good Lord. Okay, player of the week. You know, I had 2 people. Welcome back, Egoshi, my daughter's favorite player. He came into one game. He had 2 strikeouts, 3 hits. Right on, Egoshi. You know, way to contribute as soon as he comes back from the farm. Toditani had 3 hits in 1 game. Those are the only 2 throughout those last games that had 3 hits in a game. So, Egoshi struck out twice. Toditani didn't. So my player of the week, I'm going to go with Toditani. You know, the only silver lining of the gray cloud was his 3 hits in 1 game. You know, I'm sure there was other contributors, but that's just what I looked at. People who hit, you know, Merton, yeah, he had a home run, but double plays are killing everybody else, you know, so, but we're not bashing Gomez unless your player of the week is Gomez, then I spoke too soon.
No, my player of the week is not Gomez. And just to add on with Toditani, he scored several of our few runs this week.
There you go.
Like in these 6 games, man, we scored a grand total of 7, 8, 9, 10 runs in 6 games. I don't know how many Toditani got, but 10 runs, bro. Terrible. So because it was a 1-5 week and because we only got 10 runs, but because we also lost, it's hard to choose a pitcher as well, unless you go with Nomi, who did the 7 shutout innings. You know, or you could go with Tsuru, who got called up from the farm as well, and he didn't allow any runs in his 2 appearances. But I'm actually going to go elsewhere. I'm looking at pinch hitters, and no, I'm not going with Shunsuke. I'm going with Sekimoto, because in 4 plate appearances, he went 2 hits, 2 RBIs. Against the Giants, he hit the game-tying RBI before the walk-off loss, and then against the Carp today, he also got an RBI to bring it to within 1 run in the 7th inning. So really some crucial RBIs, and in fact, without Fukudome's rally-killing double play in the 7th, Sekimoto might have even been the game-tying or game-winning run of the game. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So Sekimoto, you know, in his limited appearances, did what pinch hitters are supposed to do. He came up, he got hits, and he brought guys home. Congratulations, number 3. Good job.
Yeah, it's a good choice. Yeah, Sekimoto. I actually forgot about him.
Well, you know, he's not one that you usually remember when you're doing these picks, because usually, you know, you want to look at somebody who's got, for example, 5 or 6 RBI on the week. But when there have only been 10 RBI on the week and one of your guys got 2 of them in just 4 plate appearances, I think that's pretty good. So that's that. Wizzo, let's move on to the next section, which we are getting very fond of here on H10, and we call it What a Disaster! What a Disaster. So, Wizzo, what have you got for your disaster of the week?
Well, okay, so this is, again, just my opinion. We kind of talked about this off the air here. So, okay, so Akiyama starts. He is going up against, Chunichi. Okay, so every Tiger fan out there knows that our relief pitchers are not the strongest. You know, we got, you know, Ando, Fukuhara, Oh. Okay, so Akiyama gets out there. He goes 1 1/3, and he gave up, what was that? He gave up 4 runs. I'm sorry, that's the wrong game. No, actually, Akiyama gets out there, gives up 4 runs. He has plenty of time throughout the whole entire game to kind of recover from this, I thought. But what does Wada do? Wada says, hey, you gave up 4 runs. Get out of here. You're benched. So they bench Akiyama and they bring in Shimamoto. He faces 2 guys. Okay. He strikes 1 out and he gave up a hit to the other. Now, for me, I would like to see him actually doing more out there. Hey, you know what? He's got, you know, he's 1-1. Keep him out there. You know, put the feet to the fire and make this kid pitch. They pulled him. They brought in Futagami. Then they brought in Sayuchi. Then they brought in Takamiya. And then they brought in Ando. So we had 6 pitchers total in that game. So I don't quite understand why you would pull a pitcher after just 2 batters, knowing our relief pitchers are not the strongest. And they're young. Futagami, Sayuchi, Takamiya. You know, kind of, I say young, but they are not the best right now. So I would have kept Shimamoto in there just a little bit longer. The kid could have probably went maybe 2, who knows, 3 innings and helped us along the way. But that was just a terrible game. I mean, giving up 4 runs, yeah, pull the guy. He might have recovered from it, but I just didn't like pulling a pitcher after just facing 2 batters that early on.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. First of all, I'm okay with him pulling Akiyama, because when you come into the 2nd inning and you give up hits to 4 out of the 5 guys that you face, you know, obviously it's not just that you've got the rest of the game to recover. You're getting the tar hit out of you here. You know, every guy coming up is getting a hit. So you got to do something. And, you know, we've criticized Wada before for keeping a pitcher in too long. You know, like, I think it was a few weeks ago when Nomi gave up a bunch of runs and they gave up 12 runs against the Giants in that 1 inning. And we said, why did he keep Nomi in that long? why didn't he pull him? So it's the same thing here. I mean, if Akiyama had stayed in, you never know. It might have been a 10-run inning or something like that again. And as for Shimamoto, he's had several chances up to this point since being called up from the farm and really has not made the most of any of them. And so I think it was a combination of impatience. But then also he pulled him after a strikeout, which is interesting. And I think the reason is, and I don't have the exact stuff in front of me here, but it might have been one of these righty-lefty things again where he was like, well, I need a right-handed pitcher to come in against right-handed hitting because Shimamoto's a left-handed pitcher. So that might have been his theory behind that. And again, we've talked about the righty-lefty fetish that Wada has. So that might have been what it is. So I don't disagree completely with what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't agree completely either. I don't think it was the biggest disaster. I don't even think it was a disaster. It might have just been, in retrospect, a poor choice or whatever. I'm going to say, though, for my what a disaster, it's kind of a general one. It's not a one particular moment type of thing, but it's kind of following along with the righty-lefty thing. Yamato had a terrible week last week, and so maybe he was getting a little bit less action at second base, but who we put in at second base to replace him, to me, is just a mistake. Why are you starting Katsuhiko Saka, who is a career 214 hitter and is hitting .180 this year? What do you think you're going to accomplish when you put him in at second base because he's a left-handed bat and we're going in against right-handed pitching? Do you think that that 180 batter is all of a sudden going to hit once or twice a game? I don't think he's going to get any hits. And guess what? Saka didn't get any hits. How about another one? Let's put Ryota Arai at third base because he's a right-handed bat and we're going up against left-handed pitching. Oh yeah, by the way, did you know he's batting .197 on the year? Who cares? You know, we got to play the percentages. Never mind that Imanadi's got the highest batting average on the team with .293. He's a left-handed bat. Of course he's not going to hit left-handed pitching. So that's my what an idiot, what a disaster. Stop it, Wada. Seriously. That's my call. What do you think of that?
Well, I cannot disagree with you at all. The left-handed pitcher, right-handed batter. You know, I didn't really think about it until I started listening to some of the stuff you were saying. And I was like, wow, this guy does do that a whole lot. You know, Wada, I mean. And Saka, ever since he had that one base-clearing triple, I think it was at one time, nothing. I mean, nothing. You know, so you made a good point. Why would you bring him in? It makes no sense other than, like you just said, you know, a left-handed batter against a right-handed pitcher. So it makes no sense to me at all. Saka. I don't know. Saka. You know, it doesn't make no sense. I agree with you.
Yeah. Enough said. And just to pile on one more thing on Wada for being an idiot and so on, stop using Shunsuke, okay? Because Shunsuke is also one of our useless players that really doesn't get anything done. He's not good at anything. He's not a good hitter. He's not a good base runner. He's not a great fielder. Stop. Let's farm Shunsuke. How about that? Okay, so let's quit dumping on Wada here just for a second, and let's talk, Wizzo, about the postseason, which is coming up very soon here. The Tigers have 4 games left on their plate, and the Carp have 6 left, and that's the most of any team. Right now, the Tigers have a game and a half lead on the Carp for 3rd place. I don't know, should we call it the race for 3rd or the race for 4th? Because it just seems like no team really wants anything here except for the Swallows, who finally come to life. It looks like the Swallows are pretty much locking up 1st place. And the Giants, you know, because of the lack of desire from the Tigers, are going to get 2nd place. So if the Tigers make it into the playoffs, they'll be in 3rd. They'll go into Tokyo Dome for a best of 3. So my question to you, Wizzo, first of all, is, are the Tigers going to make the playoffs? And do you want them in the playoffs? Like, do they deserve to be there? Do you think they're going to make something happen there? What's your outlook on the playoffs, Wizzo?
Because I live down here near Hiroshima, I am going to pray to God that these guys make it in to that 3rd spot. I will never get rid of this red and white stuff around this place, you know, if the Carp make it and we are out. I'll never hear the end of it. But honestly, do we deserve it? Look at how we're playing. You just summed it up pretty well. 6 games, 10 runs. That's sad. And just by looking at names alone, you would look at like Toritani, Fukudome, Merton, Gomez, Imanati. Names alone, you'd think we'd be scoring like 6 runs a game. Nope, not these guys. So if we make it, I honestly will be surprised if we make it. I mean, third place. That's what we're going to end up with most likely. Third place. I don't think with the way we've been playing, we deserve it. I think that's how the chips are going to fall because I think Hiroshima might just collapse. It's hard to say with that team. So I don't think we deserve to get in. However, if we do, we're going to be in third. And then we're going to go up probably against the Giants. And that's going to be it. And that's probably going to be a terrible ending. I hate to say it. I think some emotions are going to show at the end of that, you know, end of the year for us.
Okay, so here's the facts that I see. If the Tigers can win 2 of their last 4 games, the Carp have to win all their games to surpass us. The Carp have 1 more tie than we do, so 5 wins and 1 loss for them would put them in a tie with us. But I think by percentage points, we might be a little bit higher. I haven't done the math. But really, the Carp have got a very steep hill to climb in order to pass us. And I don't think it's going to happen because with the Carp, like you said, they just haven't really shown it this year. You know, they've reached 500 once all year. And the rest of the time, they've been under 500. By the way, the Tigers are back under 500 for the first time in a long time. But, you know, they might make it to the playoffs as a sub-500 team. Now, if they do, like you said, it's pretty much guaranteed that they will be in third place, which means they'll be going into Tokyo and probably Tokyo Dome against the Giants, against whom this year they have a 2-10 record in the Dome. So guess what my prediction is? Giants in 2 in the first round. It's going to be an easy sweep because they're going to bring Michaelis and Sugano to the mound, and we're going to get 3 hits a game, and it'll be over. We can't beat their 2 best pitchers. We haven't done it all year. How can we win a series, a best of 3, against their best pitchers? So it's done. The Tigers have no chance. I mean 0% chance of making it to the second phase of the Climax series.
It's going to be their desire. Do they want to win? That's going to be it. If they don't want to win, they're going to go up there and they're just going to swing at pitches in the dirt, high pitches. They're going to argue balls and strikes. You know, it's going to be up to them. Do they have it in their heart to actually want to go out there and win? And if they don't, we're going to lose. It's over.
Yeah, I think they're too psyched out against the good pitchers, so they're just not going to be able to do it because, like I said, they have a brutal record against other teams' best pitchers, and that includes the Giants' best pitchers, that includes the Carps' best pitchers. So when we go up against the Giants in the first round, if that's what happens, you're guaranteed we're going to be facing Michaelis, Sugano, Poreda, and we're terrible against those 3. So that's it. Okay, let's move on. I actually want to do a little bit of headline news talk before we move into predictions for next week, because a lot of things have been going on in the news lately, and I think a lot of people are getting wrong ideas or they're taking things too far, just like the media tends to do here in Kansai. The first one is that there was kind of a news leak earlier in the week that WADA, his contract would not be renewed for next year. And it was Daily Sports that came out with this story. They said that they saw the team owner and the club president going into a hotel in Kobe for a secret meeting. Well, no longer a secret, I guess. And that they were talking about what to do beyond this season because WADA would not be renewed. Now, it's not 100% factual, but we know that WADA's 1-year contract this year was kind of contingent on them winning the championship, and they're not going to do it now. The next rumor that came out very soon after that was that his replacement would be either former third baseman, 1985 slugger Masayuki Kakefu, or former left fielder and Iron Man Tomoaki Kanemoto. Now, when Kanemoto was asked this, or was told about this, he said, "Who's making this stuff up? Because I have never heard anything like this." And the club owner also said, "Where are they getting this stuff? Because the club owner and the team president have not opened their mouths to anybody in the media. So it's all speculation, folks. if you're hearing this stuff, you can believe it as much as you want, but none of it's fact, none of it's proven. On the player's notes, it's interesting, Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who has been out since May the 23rd with elbow ligament problems, came back. He's only able to pinch hit now because he cannot really throw the ball very far, but he can pinch hit from the left side of the plate, and he has pinch hit in the last three games. He's gone 0-for-3 with a strikeout, unfortunately, but it's good to have him back. He's a great presence on the bench, and I hope that somehow in the last four games he can do something something to inspire the club. The other big thing is that heading into today's game, we got the news that our closer, Sung-Hwan Oh, I don't know if I'll ever get his name right, he also suffered a leg injury of some sort, and I know I heard today it was a pulled muscle, but I heard that it was one of those pulled muscles that doesn't heal real quick, and so there's a chance that he won't even be back for the playoffs. And as I said earlier, the playoffs for the Tigers is going to be really short anyways, so you know, if they only make it one round in the playoffs, it won't matter. Anyways, it's too bad he's out, and that leaves our relief squad even thinner. But on another note, what that means is that now we've only got three foreigners active on our big league squad, and that leaves room for one more foreigner. And so I read a report that Perez, who's been smoking the ball on the farm, is going to be called up from tomorrow. So he'll be at Koshien against the Giants. Now, Wizzle, what do you think? How are we going to use Perez? It's great news. It's kind of exciting. And everybody's been talking about this for months. I want to see Perez. What can he do for the club? What do you think he's going to do, or how are they going to use him this week?
It's going to be very interesting. You know, Perez, I think, is a natural left fielder. So,
yeah.
Left field. Oh, we got Merton there. Okay, so we have Merton there. And I think that was one of the other reports of Merton's future, who knows what, after this year. And then we have Gomez at first, and I think Perez can also play a little bit of first. So with that said, man, you know what, Nishioka, I know everybody was talking about him. He came in pinch hitting situations. Let's start off Perez as a pinch hitter. If that dude, I'll tell you right now, if he gets up there as a pinch hitter and smacks a home run, somebody's job is in jeopardy. Because Koshien is going to go nuts, or the Tiger fans are going to go nuts because, oh my goodness, a pinch hitter with some power, that's what we need. And he brought in runners, you know, so that's going to be something if he gets up there and does some real damage, you know. So it'll be interesting from that point on how they actually utilize him.
So the thing with Perez is he's the fourth foreigner then on the squad, if you include Merton, Gomez, and Messenger, right? But yeah, the two positions that he can play are occupied by foreigners. So if you plug him into the lineup, you're still kind of playing with just three foreigners. And because Messenger's a starter and he's only got one start left this year, essentially you've only got two foreigners on the field for the rest of the year. I'm interested to see how they use him as well. But as I mentioned a bit on Facebook, I hope people don't get overexcited or over-pessimistic based on his performance in these four games. You know, if he hits two home runs in four games, well, that's wonderful, but can he do that over an entire season, or will pitchers figure him out, or will he strike out like crazy, as rumor has it he has a tendency to do? Like, we don't know, right? If he comes in and he strikes out in more than half his at-bats, does that mean that's all he's going to do for a whole season? No, because he can make adjustments. He can get used to playing at this level. So I wish him all the best, and I'm excited, and I hope he does really well, but I'm not going to get too high or too low on the guy. I'm just really curious is all. Thank you for bringing that up, Wizzo, though. Yeah, another headline that we saw was, it looks like Merton is going to be leaving the team at the end of the season. And that headline also is not really predicated on anything factual. The article did not quote Merton, and it did not quote any club official. It was simply speculating at the facts. And the facts do point towards that. You know, we've got a guy that is making $4.5 million. He hit 9 home runs. He's hitting in the 270s. His attitude seems to be going up and down, and it seems to be down more than up lately. You know, all sorts of things point to him leaving, but we can't say for sure, you know? So I hope people understand that when they read these articles, that they're not always 100% factual. But, you know, we'll talk about Merton a little bit more once the season ends and once things become clear about what he's doing next year. One more really big thing in the news, and I save this for the end because it is much more serious than the others, is the sudden passing away of GM Katsuhiro Nakamura at age 66. He was found lying face up on his hotel bed in Tokyo when the Tigers were playing the Giants. I think they said the cause of death was cardiac arrest. And it was very sudden because he was at the game the day before. So it's really sad news for the club. And, you know, you can put aside your feelings for the guy and the moves that he's made and the drafts that he's done and all that kind of stuff. This is a human life and it's lost. It's a terrible loss for his family. It's a terrible loss for his friends. It's a terrible loss for the organization. So our sympathies and condolences go out to the Nakamura family as well as the Hanshin Tigers baseball club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. It's tragic. You know, any time that, you know, you hear about someone passing on, man, it's tragic. You know, it just shows you how precious and short life can be. You know, Giants game one day, you know, and then life ends the next. You know, it's pretty crazy. So, yeah, definitely deep sympathies and condolences to the family. He brought us the Tigers, you know, so we'll remember him for that. All the great things that he did for this organization. You know, all the players were influenced him by him in some way. I believe Fukudome was, you had mentioned Fukudome was given his chance with the Tigers because of him. So, you know, we're reaping his rewards, you know, in a sense. So, yeah, terrible loss.
Certainly, yeah. And, you know, that might be some of what has affected the Tigers' performance this week. It's really hard to say because we're not in the minds of the players and we don't get to interview the players or the coaching staff. But, I mean, that's just something that's really hard to take, especially mid-season, you know, in the middle of the pennant race and all that kind of stuff. It messes you up psychologically and emotionally. But, you know, players can't use that as an excuse for their performance on the field either. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that's just really hard to deal with. And I hope that, you know, the organization does something to help players and coaches with the grieving process.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's close off the show real quick with a prediction about the upcoming week, Wizzo, and then we'll call it a day. And, you know, everybody, if you've got some time just to have a moment of silence for General Manager Nakamura, please take some time on your own and do that. But let's look at the week to come. Wizzo, we've got four more games left on tap, and we're right at the end of the 12 games in 12 days on schedule for the Tigers with two home games. We are hosting the Giants tomorrow, and we're hosting the Bay Stars the day after. And then we get a day off, finally. Then we'll go into Tokyo, and we'll play the Swallows on Thursday. And then we get 2 days off before we host the Hiroshima Carp on Sunday, October the 4th, to end the season. That's assuming that there are no rain dates this week. So, in those four games, what do you think? How many wins, how many losses, Wizzo?
All right. This is all based upon whether this team has the heart and the desire to win. So, if they come out here playing like they have been recently, just, you know, with the I don't care attitude, 0-4 easily. But, you know, I'm positive, optimistic. I am going with 3-1 because I think we're going to, we might trip and fall against the Giants. We're going to beat the Bay Stars. We got Yakult, and notice we can beat Yakult. We just can't beat them twice in a row. So we play them once. I think we beat them. And then it comes down to the Carp. I think we're going to shut the Carp down. I think it's going to be that one game. Maybe it, hey, winner goes to the playoffs, loser doesn't, and they want to get in. So I say 3-1, the only loss being against the Giants. And we shut the Carp down and make my life happier because we can get rid of all this red and white Carp stuff around this area.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you on almost all of that. I'm going to say they go 2-2. And actually, I'm going to say that they're going to win the first two games of the week. They're going to beat the Giants, and the reason is because they're bringing Fujinami to the mound, and it's going to be his last start of the season in all likelihood until the playoffs. And I just think that he's got enough fire to carry the team to victory. It's at home. They need a win after all these losses. And then the next day against the Bay Stars, we're probably going to bring Messenger to the mound. It's a home game where he tends to pitch a little bit better. It's against the Bay Stars, who are out of the playoffs and have nothing to gain by pulverizing us. And Messenger, I think, is going to be hungry for that win number 10 so that he can reach double digits and win. So I'm going to predict that finally the Tigers are going to give him enough runs to get a win. So we're going to win those two. And then by then, the Carp will have lost at least one of their games. So they'll be mathematically eliminated. We're going to go into Tokyo against Yakult. And I'm not sure if they'll have it clinched yet at that point. So they might want to clinch at home. By the way, their ballpark is awesome for hitters, and guess who's got better hitters than us? So I think Yakult is going to win that game. And then the final game of the year, I don't think is going to matter. The Tigers will be in third place. The Carp will be in fourth. It's just going to be a wash game. Neither team is really going to try or care. I mean, the Tigers might try because it's their last home game of the season. But I still think that just the way the season has gone, it's going to end with a loss. So two wins, two losses this week. Anyways, folks, that's about all the time we've got for today. We're going to keep today's show a little bit shorter than last week's. We went a bit over time. Send us your comments. Send us your feedback about the week to come, about the week that was, about General Manager, about WADA, about the articles that you've read, whatever. The email address, once again, podcast@thehunchingtigers.com. Write a comment on the Facebook page, Hanshin Tigers English News. Send me something on Twitter, @TheHanshinTiger. We'd love to hear from you. The season is coming to an end, and we just really want to bring this Hanshin Tiger fan community together. So send us some stuff. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great week, Wizzo, and we will be back at this time again next week.